a tiny cell known by the name of Been Praying, actually the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terrorist cells, the Been Praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Been Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that Been Praying cell group has different characteristics than others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master, Jesus, to return.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We invite you to join us today for the first half of The Sin of Prayerlessness, which is based on 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, and let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Sin of Prayerlessness.
I'm going to ask that you'd open in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And it is in the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel where we read about the Israelite people, and they desire to be like the nations around them, and they wanted a king. They should have been satisfied because God was their king. But many Israelites, like many people today, are not satisfied with the provisions of God. They're not satisfied with the things that God has provided for them and that he is the ruler over their lives. And they said, we don't want to be without a king. And they requested of God that he would give them a king. And God gave them a king. And Samuel became heartbroken over the fact that Israel wanted a king like other nations. And God comforted Samuel, and he told Samuel that, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And when Samuel prayed to the Lord, the Bible says that the heavens opened up, and that rain came down, and that thunder came down, and the people realized that they had made a bad decision by requesting a king. And the people began to be fearful, and the people began to be concerned. And they went to Samuel, and they said, Samuel, we need you to pray for us. We realize the error of our way. We realize that we made a mistake in asking for a king, and we need for you to pray for us. And it's in the first book of Samuel, chapter 12, in verse 23. And I'm sure that when the people came to Samuel, that he may in his heart have said, you know, these stiff-necked, hard-head, rebellious people, I don't feel like praying for them. You know, they just getting what they deserve. I don't feel like praying for them. But what does Samuel say in verse 23? He says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And I want to speak to you this morning on a sin that many of us are committing. I want to speak to you on something that characterizes the lives of many people in our country today and in our churches, and that is the sin of prayerlessness. The sin of prayerlessness. Samuel says here, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. When he had every right and every opportunity to not want to pray for them and to not pray for them, God still put it in his heart to lift them up in prayer. In your notes, I open up with a statement by one of my favorite preachers and writers. He is a man of the past. His name is Leonard Ravenhill. He wrote a book that has just transformed my thinking and my life, and the title of the book is Why Revival Tarries. And whenever I need to be ripped apart, and whenever I need to just be dunked, slam dunked, I go to Ravenhill because he doesn't pull any punches. As a matter of fact, Ravenhill was not popular with a lot of people. He stood before a group of preachers, and he told them, if you're not praying 2 hours a day, then you're not worth your salt in ministry. And many of the ministers were offended. He made a lot of folks mad. But one of the things that Raven Hill, like I said, I like him because when I need to be ripped apart, I go to Raven Hill because he just rips me. And he put here, I took a quote out of one of his books, and it says, "The ugly fact is that the altar fires are either burning out or burning very low. The prayer meeting is dead or dying. The Cinderella of the church today is the prayer meeting. This handmaid of the Lord, unloved and unwooed, because she is not dripping with the pearls of intellectualism, nor glamorous with the silks of philosophy, neither is she enchanting with the tiara of psychology. She wears the homespuns of sincerity and humility and is not afraid to kneel." He says that the prayer meeting is the Cinderella of the church today. You remember Cinderella? She was the beautiful sister, and she had two wicked stepsisters. But who got the attention? It was the wicked stepsister. That's where all the attention went. And what Raven here was saying, in the church, we give our attention to a lot of other things, and we can begin to name those things. But when it comes time to pray, prayer is the Cinderella of the church. Prayer is the Cinderella that's forgotten. Prayer is the Cinderella that's unwooed. Prayer is the Cinderella that's undesired. The prayer meeting. I was reading a quote from a conference of ministers, and they took a poll of ministers, and it was found that the average minister, the average pastor, only prays about 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day. The average man of God that stands in the pulpit to proclaim the word of God is only spending three minutes on his knees before the Lord. My brothers and sisters, this sin is serious. It's a sin that has attacked from the top to the bottom in the church. The sin of prayerless starts in the pulpit and it permeates to the pew. And so I pray to God that this would not be our testimony today. I pray that this would not be our lifestyle today, to live a lifestyle of prayerlessness. Somebody sent me this email yesterday, and I thought it was so appropriate because this is what we need. The latest news reports that there are 5 terrorist cell groups that have been operating in many of our churches today. They have been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing church. Their leader, Lucifer Ben Workin, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come against the church disguised as Christians and do the work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. But I like this right here. However, there are reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell known by the name of Been Praying, actually the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike other terrorist cells, the Been Praying team does not blend in with whoever and whatever comes along. Been Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that Been Praying cell group has different characteristics than others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master, Jesus, to return. That's what we need more of in the church, is some been praying. We need less of been sleeping. We need less of been arguing. We need less of been fighting. We need less of been complaining. We need less of been missing. And we need more of been praying. We need some praying folk today. The sin of prayerlessness. Samuel said, "God forbid that I sin against God in ceasing to pray for you." I want to point out to you this morning several ways in which prayerlessness is a sin. See, as we look at sins, there's a whole laundry list of sins. There's the sins of our youth, and there's sins of our age. There's sins that we consciously commit and sins that we unconsciously commit. We can go through a whole list of sins, but there's also sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission are those sins that we do overtly, that we go out and that we intentionally and knowingly do. But there are also sins of omission, and those are the sins that we commit by not doing something that we're supposed to do. And so when we fail to pray, we actually commit a sin of omission by the fact that we are not spending time on our knees. The first thing, or the first reason why prayerlessness is a sin, is because it snubs the invitation of God. Prayerless snubs the invitation of God. I was watching one of these TV shows, and it was talking about this young lady. I think her name is Rihanna, the one that got beat up last year by her boyfriend. And they were saying that they didn't ask her to sing at the Grammys this year, and they used this phrase, that she was snubbed, you know, that she was just dissed, you know, that she was put off. And many of us diss God. Many of us snub God because we don't come to him in prayer. In the book of Hebrews, if you'll turn there, we have a great invitation by God. And God's invitation is that we would come into his presence in prayer. God went to great lengths in putting this invitation together. His son left the glories of heaven, came down, walked on this earth, lived like a man, lived like a servant, died on a cross. And God said that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, that when Jesus died on the cross, you know what the Bible says? That the veil of the temple was torn in two. Now, what is significant about that? Well, the significance about that is that God was back in the holy place, and man could not go into the holy place except once a year, and that was the high priest. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in two, and God was saying to each and every one who would accept his son that we can all come into the holy place now, that we can all come into the presence of God. And so God puts out this invitation and invites us into his presence. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have not a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God says, come boldly. God gives us the invitation to come boldly into his presence, that we don't need to tiptoe into the presence of God. We don't need to slide into the presence of God. We don't need to ease into the presence of God. But the scripture says, come boldly into the presence of God. And yet and still, we snub God when we don't pray. God has taken all this time to put this great invitation for you together. God has sent you a beautiful invitation with ribbons and with different colors and with flowery language. And God says, look, this is my invitation for you to come into my presence. This is my invitation for you to come and pray. And what do? We throw it in the trash. We tear it up. We snub God. And sometimes we need to see it exactly for what it is, that we snub God. You know, there's sometimes when I get up in the morning, I'm just honest with God. I'm just honest with God. I say, God, I don't feel like spending time with you today, and I'm not going to spend time with you today. But be honest. Don't try to slip and slide and duck and dodge and try to make like everything is all right. Let God know that you're not going to spend time with him. Let God know that you are going to snub his invitation. And that's a powerful thing when you think about it, that the God of the universe has invited you to come and get on your knees before him and pray. If we were doing something busy at our house and we were involved in a project and one of your friends, maybe it's the best friend that you have in the whole world, and you heard a knock on the door, and you went and you answered that door, you would stop what you were doing to take time and spend with that individual who you care so much about. And yet and still, when God knocks at our door and he gives us an invitation to pray, we snub God, we look out the curtain, and we open the curtain, we peep out the window, and we say, oh, it's just God. I'm not going to open the door. I don't want him to know I'm in here. Maybe if I don't answer the door, he'll think that nobody's here, and he'll leave. You see, we snub God. When we fail to pray, we snub God. The second thing we see that when we fail to pray is that prayerlessness is a sin because it indicates that the soul is sick. Wow. When you go to the doctor and you say, I've got a headache, I've got a fever, I've got diarrhea, I'm nauseated, I'm having chills, these are all symptoms of what? Of a problem in your body. And so you tell the doctor these things so that the doctor can address whatever the root cause of your problem is. You know, one of my problems that I found out in dealing with my leg, everybody was addressing the symptoms. And I'm finally getting with some people who are beginning to address the root of the problem. And it's good to know that you're getting at the root, because it's easy to find people who can address the symptoms, but you want people that's going to get to the root of your problem. And when we look at our lives, and we can go day after day, and we can go week after week without spending time with God in prayer, then that means that our soul is sick. That your soul is sick. Let's not sugarcoat it. Let's not try to fix it up. But let's be honest and say that your soul is sick. Somebody says, and I hear a lot of young people say this, I don't know how to pray. You know, how do you pray? Well, on Wednesdays, we've been studying how to pray. There are 11 aspects of prayer that we are going into in-depth teaching on each one to teach people how to pray. There's no excuse for people not being able to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, and you can't come on Wednesdays, I would suggest that you either get my notes or get the book so that God's people cannot say, I don't know how to pray. Can you imagine standing before God one day and saying, God, I didn't know how to pray? God will look at you and say, come on into heaven. But he's going to give you a seat way in the back. Because prayer is the main thing that connects us to him. And the word connects us to him. Look at 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. It's only one chapter. 3 John, verse 1 and verse 2. John is writing to the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So he says here, I'm praying for your health. I pray that you might prosper and be in health. Look at this. Even as thy soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. What's the sign of a prosperous soul? What is the sign? I need somebody to hear me now. What is the sign of a prosperous soul? The sign of a prosperous soul is a praying soul. If you are a praying person, then your soul is healthy. If you're not praying, then there's something wrong with your soul. Prayerlessness is a symptom of a sickness that's inside of you. And all of God's people should long for, all of God's people should desire to connect with him in prayer. So prayerlessness does not only snub God's invitation, but prayerlessness is a sign that there's a sickness in our soul. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being sick. I don't like being sick in my body. I don't like being sick, you know, anywhere else. And God forbid that we have sickness in soul. And so once again, don't tell me, you know, I know if I'm a man and I'm saying this, and God is God, how much more he's saying it, that he gave his son. Don't tell me that I don't know how to pray. That's not going to fly anymore. You know, the days of us having an excuse, you know, to try to get out of things is over. Let's just be honest. You know, you don't want to pray. You're too busy to pray. You know, it's too much going to inconvenience you too much. And yet and still, the main power source that we have, we are failing to connect with. The third thing, and I pray that this would speak to all of our hearts, because this is so true, and it's found throughout the scripture. Prayerlessness is a sin because it puts those around us at a disadvantage. What do I mean when I say that? What I'm saying is that when Samuel said that God forbid that I sin against him in failing to pray for you, he realized that if he didn't pray for the folk, then they would be at a disadvantage. That there would be things that would happen in their lives that would overwhelm them and overcome them because he wasn't praying for them. Oh my goodness, I wish I had that cordless mic this morning so I could walk, but I'm going to stand right here and preach this thing anyways. The fact of the matter is that when you pray for other folks, that unleashes the power of God in their lives. Now, you might not ever see a change. You know, you might not see what you're looking to see, but every time you pray for a loved one, every time you pray for a coworker, every time you pray for a friend, what you are doing is you are unleashing the power of God in their lives. I remember I had a good friend, Brother Norman Givens, down in Lynchburg, Virginia, and his wife, she had got saved, and she was praying for him. She was praying for him, and he was out there. He was on drugs. He was running the streets, and one night, he was on the bus in New York City, and somebody came up to him and gave him a tract, and he read it, and that night on that bus, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why did he do that? Because he had a praying wife. He had a wife that was interceding for him. And what did God do? God unleashed his power on her husband. He unleashed his power in sending somebody there with a tract. He unleashed his power by allowing the Holy Spirit to convict his heart right there on that bus. I had a minister that I licensed and ordained in Lynchburg, Virginia, Brother Lorenzo Ruff. His family would go to church every Sunday. Lorenzo drove around in a beige Corvette, just cruising the neighborhood. Oh, he was on top of the world. Nice job, nice clothes, and a nice car. But his wife started praying for him. He said that he would never go to church. And one morning, he was sitting at home watching a preacher on TV. The preacher preached the word of God. And Lorenzo, right there in his living room, asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart. God got a hold of his heart. He came to the church. I began to disciple him and work with him, license him. And now he's pastoring several churches. The power of prayer. That when you fail to pray for other folk, you are putting them at a disadvantage. Samuel said, God forbid that I cease to pray for you. It's a sin for me to stop praying for the people around. Well, I just don't see any results. I wonder if my prayer, you know, I'm going to preach a message. I don't know when I'm going to preach it, but it's going to be on persistence prayer, that you need to be like a bulldog. You need to get a hold of God, and you just need to say, God, I'm going to keep my teeth on your glory robe until you bless me. You know, just hold on to God. Persistence in prayer. You know, I think of, let me share this with you. I was reading this study, and it was at the research done at San Francisco General Hospital. And they studied people who were victims of heart attacks, heart failure, and who had other cardiac problems. And they divided the people into two groups. There was 192 people in one group and 201 in the other group. The one that had 192 were prayed for. The one that had 201, they were not prayed for. Now, nobody knew, told them, you know, that this was going on. It was just something that was done behind the scenes.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Sin of Prayerlessness. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Sin of Prayerlessness, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the Sin of Prayerlessness, or program number 100113. That's 877-831-5060 and request the Sin of Prayerlessness, or program number 100113. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.